Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey, the podcast where we cover all the pop culture we love to hate, from the classic reality TV moments of the past and present to the latest Daily Mail headlines and everything in between. We'll dive into all the infamous and notorious messes you can't stop watching. I'm looking at you, Jax Taylor. I'm your host, Ryan Bailey.
Can't deny it, I'm a fucking rider.
Come at you, boy.
Y'all can't deny it, y'all can't deny it.
Come at you, boy.
Y'all can't deny it, I'm a fucking rider.
Come at you, boy.
You don't wanna fuck with me.
Yeah.
Come on!
Get me back.
That's right.
Doing right.
Yeah.
Thou world.
Yo.
Catch me at the hot spot. I box. I box. At the bar, y'all. All night. I pop. Is it all right? Show you right. Can't stop it. This is our world. Me and my girl. Catch me at the hot spot. I box. I plot. At the bar, y'all. All night. I pop. Is it all right? Show you right. Can't stop it. This is our world. Me and my girl. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hold up. Hey, what is up, folks? It is So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey. This is Ryan Bailey. It is Thursday. I'm going to apologize for me just saying Thursday. That was kind of lame. And now what am I going to say when it's Friday, huh? Folks, how are you? It is my first full day in beautiful Clearwater, Florida with my folks. And it's good. We laid out by the beach as a three-person family unit. I waded into the water with my mom. She took a noodle out there so she could it could prop her up, and then she pointed out all the birds in the sky to me. Oh, Ryan, look. Ryan, look how they're all standing on the beach. Look. It's really nice. I've gotten some color. That's good. I got a full night's sleep last night, which is also good. How are you guys doing? We made it. This is Thursday. We're 80% done. This is so late on Thursday night. It is 1:09 a.m. in Clearwater, and 10 a.m. was when we got home from all our, like, we went out to eat as a family, and we got some ice cream as a family. And then I said, hey, you know, I got to walk back and start the pod and take some notes on Beverly Hills, because it's Real Housewives of Beverly Hills night. And thinking, you know, it'd be a quick hour, you know. It took me like nearly 3 hours to take notes on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. For some reason, there was so much happening. And now that I'm thinking back, I'm like, there was so much happening. I mean, this really was what I'm calling the Ballad of Sutton tonight. Like, I'll say I've been on a journey today, a journey with Erica Jane all season. And it's very much upsetting me. I'll say all of these ladies are up there living inside of Erica Jane's asshole. Yet I, Sutton, am questioning the veracity of these claims. It's all, I have to do it. So folks, you can expect a very big podcast on Friday, the solo recap of Beverly Hills, which I put so many hours on vacation into these damn notes. I was furious by the, cause it was taking so damn long. I was like, it for some reason went on forever, and I know these were good scenes, but it was like when you're having to go parentheses, Rinna cackles again. Rinna says she's the king of the world. Rinna doesn't wear a swimsuit. Crystal wears a swimsuit. Like it has become. I need to find a better way to do everything. We've had a great week for the pod though, haven't we? I think. Monday, Sophie Ross, as always. Tuesday, Miss Lala Kent. Ooh, how we doing, you guys? So Lala did this thing, you guys. Did you hear about this? Where last night on the premiere of Vanderpump Rules, she posted a photo after the show had aired of Stassi, Katie, Kristen Doty, and herself, and was like, shout out to these ladies and all that. And Ariana commented, was like, yo, what are you doing? Like, how about you, like, get your head in the game, and like, what about our season now? I love all those girls too, but like, let's celebrate our show, you know? And it, you know, Lala took it down, and then Lala in her stories today said, oh, somebody kind of got butthurt about it. And that just sucks. Like, I had such a good conversation with Lala on the podcast, and it bummed me out. And it's like, do you know how hard it is to work in Los Angeles? These people have a paying job. Like, I know we all think of them as like pseudo famous and rich and all that shit, but you know what? Like, a lot of them aren't. Like, think about it. Jax is like Jax is selling like weird meat product services of like, hey, do you like cuts of beef? Well, you could get monthly shipments of cuts of beef. Right, Brittany? Right, Jax. Right, Jax. And I mean, by the way, and I would kill to sell cuts of beef. I just want to put that out there. But I wasn't on a TV show for all those years. And obviously, none of these people have saved their money. So, I mean, you know, if you have the honor to be on a Bravo show or any show for a year, you know, if you don't like it, just shut your mouth. It's kind of the same thing with Erica Jane. She, you know, it pissed me off so much. She was like,
If I'm too happy, they're going to say I'm overjoyed. If I'm too sad, they're going to say I need to buck up.
And it's like, girl, no, you just shouldn't have been on the show this season. Like, you know, it's the fact that you're showing all of this on video, you know, like I wouldn't know otherwise how you what you cared or didn't care about if it wasn't for this show. But you have this show, so there's this thing of like, if you're going to present a certain image, you're doing that with the full knowledge that we're all going to see it. So I don't, you know, spoiler alert, I don't feel bad for Erica still, even with her fucking monologue. Sorry, kids. With her monologue about, you know, like, woe is me. I want to have fun. I want to have so much fun. It's like, dude, all you need to worry about, Orphan and Victims. All you need to worry about for the next couple of years. And hopefully you'll stay out of jail. I don't think you'll go to jail at all. But that's all you got to do, you know? I just realized my mic was on the wrong setting. So that first part, I'll try to run it through some audio processors, but it might sound a little echoey. But the passion was still there, folks, and I'm too tired to do it over again. I'm on vacation, kind of. But anyway, so you could tell I'm fired up about this Beverly Hills. But I think it ties in with the Vanderpump Rules thing, too. Lala really would be good on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Like, honestly, she really would be good. I say that in total seriousness, because I think maybe she's not right for Vanderpump Rules. And we got the first ratings for Vanderpump Rules today, and it didn't do great. It was pretty much almost cut in half of the Season 8 premiere. But remember, the Season 8 premiere was, you know, it was right before the pandemic. Yeah, I'm going to call it pandemic. I hate when people call it pandemic. I'm so sorry that I just did that. But it was right around that time. And then, you know, the pandemic hit during Vanderpump Rules Season 8. Of course, that was the season of Jax and Brittany's, you know, I'm getting married. And it did really well. But then it was kind of a shit season. And also, a lot of people didn't even know Vanderpump Rules was coming back. I got so many messages today, I swear to God, but people were like, oh my God, it aired last night? Are you kidding me? I had no, oh man, I missed it. So I'm going to say, let's wait, let's see what happens. But a lot of people I saw on Twitter especially were like, yeah, that serves you right. Like, serves you right for what? Like, firing Jack, Stassi, and Kristen? I thought, if anything, the Vanderpump Rules showed that you didn't need them. I was kind of, dude, we had a fight where DJ James Kennedy was like rage texting Lisa Vanderpump's son Max and calling him fat and fat and fat and fat. And this is without alcohol. Like, come on, we got some real stuff to go over this season. I predict that the ratings will go up over these next few weeks if they continue to bring it, and it looks like they might. But it's also, I got to tell you, I kind of go by my own litmus where it's like, did I have fun watching it? Yeah. Am I still thinking about it? Yeah. Does Brock look like a total weirdo in his talking head outfit? Yeah. I mean, those are the things I base everything is like, does Brock look weird? Did I have a good time? Am I still thinking about it? Yeah, to all three. But really, that's how we got to go. Like, if you didn't enjoy it, that's awesome. Remember, there's so many shows on. We're really Beverly Hills, Potomac, Below Deck Med. We got so many great shows on right now. So, whereas I want everybody to watch Vanderpump Rules because I want everybody to like what I like, but I really do go by that. Like, I am still thinking about little moments and scenes, and that's when I know, like, okay, good. I can work with this. I can make fun of this. I can create memes off of this. So a lot of people wrote in, I will be doing a full recap of Vanderpump Rules on Tuesday's episode to get you ready for Tuesday night's Vanderpump Rules. And then we'll see how that goes. If you like it, I'll keep doing the recaps. If you don't, there's so much to talk about and guests to interview and stuff like that. I would do the Vanderpump Rules recap earlier, but I'm just not going to have the time with being with my folks. So I hope you guys are okay with a Tuesday recap. And that's pretty much it, I think, because we're going to get right into our guest today. So our guest today is somebody that I think she's just so flippin' talented and funny and awesome. You guys might know her from her Twitter or her Instagram. A lot of her material is based around dating. Her name is Sarah K. Runnels. She's a writer. I'll read her Instagram bio for you. Original AF, funny AF, single AF, as seen in the New Yorker magazine, I'm sorry, and Your Dreams. Not a dating expert, but definitely a master dater. And folks, I agree with all this stuff. And she is a master dater. We have this hour and 10 minute discussion about dating, but then it falls into like 90 Day Fiance and The Bachelor and stuff like that. But we break down all of the dating apps. She walks me through each and every one. And I think really good guests make you feel like you're best friends with them. I try to make people, but I really felt, it's like, it was a really good, I had never talked with her before. My friend Megan had pointed her out to me and she was great. But I had never talked with her before and I had such a good time. I could have kept going. I could have kept going with Sarah. She was just great. And I apologize, Sarah, if you're listening, I kept spelling her name with an S-A-R-A-H and it's actually just S-A-R-A. And she's one of those people that wants her name spelled correctly. What a weirdo. No, but she actually really is great. I recommend you follow her on Instagram and Twitter. I'll put that information in the show description, but her Twitter is OMGSKR. And she's just, and by the way, oh my God, she's followed by Caroline Calloway. Well, that's big. Wow, look at this, Sarah. Look at you. No, but anyways, I think this is a great conversation. And this is what I was talking about where, this isn't an hour and 10 minute discussion about reality shows. We do get there at points, but this is so good. All of you girls and guys that date, you will appreciate this conversation. I think it is so good. And you guys have heard a lot of my horrific dating stories, like the one where I accidentally left the keys in the car and the car running throughout the whole date. And I was so nervous that I didn't realize it until I went up to take her home and my car was smoldering. So you guys know that I'm not a great dater, but Sarah is. Like, Sarah's one of those people that takes pride on, like, she's like, I love it. I'm having a great time. And I salute you, Sarah K. Runnels. So without further ado, folks, I can't recommend this girl highly enough. Go to her link tree on her Instagram, too, and read some of her New Yorker articles. And also, she had this great story on Medium, which I talk about in the beginning. And I thought it was actually, it was really beautiful about a pandemic relationship that she had. But go check out her stuff. I think she's really talented. And I really thank you guys for letting me kind of go outside the comfort zone of this podcast sometimes where it's just pop culture and talk about things that we all kind of go through. And I think dating is one of the big ones. So without further ado, my best friend, Sarah K. Runnels. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to iHeartRadio So Bad It's Good. Today, we have a guest that I think you might already actually be aware of. A lot of my listeners seem to be females that are on the dating scene. And this person actually probably seems to kind of know more about dating than most people that I know, but also is able to put it through a humorous lens, which is very important. Her writing has actually been in the New Yorker Mag. And actually, I say humorous, but then I read this Medium story she wrote that was actually really heartbreaking and touching about dating during the pandemic. But I want to talk to her about all of this stuff, maybe some reality shows. But Sarah K. Runnels, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thank you. Thanks for being here. I guess first off, why dating? It seems, I was just watching your Instagram stories of people asking you questions about dating. And it seems like the one thing that we all dread, but we hope for, love. And it's this weird, we're so entangled in having somebody else in our lives.
I like that your first question was just why dating?
Yeah, why? Well, it was either that or why men? And that's, I was like, that was the
yeah,
second, that was the follow-up. Yeah.
The question I get often is, you date a lot, so what motivates you to keep going? And which is
like a marathon. It's a marathon, not a sprint. Yeah,
exactly. For some people, yeah. They run half a mile and they're done, and that's great. Whatever works for everyone. But yeah, it is a very what I try to project in my writing is that it is a tedious process, but you should make the most of it and enjoy it because it does kind of suck. And, I think finding the humor in it and going into every date, like, this person would be lucky to be with me. And if not, I have a really good story for my friends. Like, to me, that's still like a pretty good case scenario. And then a best case scenario is we go on a second date.
I love that that's best case. It's not marriage. It's a second date. Like that's not marriage or family or anything like that. How long have you been a professional dater as you, I guess a professional writer as well. That's the glamorous portion of it.
Yeah. Those are two separate things. They do happen to overlap. I've been a writer for decades at this point. And have been single for about like the last 8 or so years of my life in between a couple long-term relationships. So I've been writing for a very long time and I've made a career out of marketing writing and on the side writing these humorous pieces and have learned to that like, you know, my dating life is pretty lucrative, frankly. And
that's what I'm saying. If you find love, you might be screwed. Like, I mean, there is element of that.
I know. And I take offense to that question because everyone's always like, what are you going to write about when you get in a relationship? And I have plenty to say. Don't worry.
No, I mean, you're totally right. But it is interesting that you can take something that we all kind of dread in certain ways. And I always love people that I actually can look at it through a lens where you can laugh at something because it's so ridiculous. Like you think about, like I was married and unfortunately not married anymore and being married and then coming back onto a dating scene where I had no clue what I was doing. Apps didn't exist. And you feel like you're, you know, what's that like the old man that will like Rip Van Winkle where you wake up and it's like everything, everybody has gone forward and people are making fun. I mean, there's so many minutiae kind of little things involved in dating. It's really scary.
It is. It's terrifying. And I've heard lots of people that have just jumped back in and they go to download an app and they're just swiping through and they're like, holy shit. Like where to even begin? And you're by even downloading an app, you're doing the right thing. And I do think it is overwhelming for a lot of people, but the best part is that it's entirely on your terms. So you get to decide like who's moving forward and who you never want to see again. And you don't even ever have to go out on a date, I guess, if you don't want to, but the fact that you can just like, it's like a menu. And that's also the problem with it.
That's what I'm saying. Do you think then we get into this kind of mind frame of like, no, I'll wait for a double cheeseburger at Wendy's like instead of it.
It's like a Cheesecake Factory menu. Like there's so many
options.
It never ends. So you just have to start trying a few things. That's the only answer.
Do you go into dates going like, hey, I'm just trying a few things, buddy. Like, hey, this is me just trying a few things. Yeah.
Well, hopefully, you know, I hope a lot of them don't Google me before.
Yeah, that's what, and also you're doubly screwed potentially because you do talk like, I mean, has anybody caught you like, hey, that joke's about me. That witticism is about me.
I had a guy on a first date, we had been like texting on Tinder and I had made a really top notch quality pun and he... He didn't reply with like, I love you or, you know, you're amazing. He just wrote like, ha ha. And so I had tweeted about that. And on our date, he's like, and he like pulls out his phone and he just reads the tweet. And I know what I'm doing. I have a very public presence, but a lot of guys either choose to not Google somebody before they go out on a date or they don't bring it up. And I didn't mind. I was like, yeah, that's what I do, guy. And, you know, writing about dating is an interesting, you know, part of who I am, but it's never blatant. It's never like Daniel, 39, who lives 2 apartments over, fucking sucks. It's always like, you know, I try to keep it very high level. And that's what I think makes it relatable is that a lot of men and women see the people that I'm writing about and they're like, holy shit, like I've seen the exact same thing and I need to know how to react to it or what to do with it. And I try to deliver that in a humorous way. And I think it really does change people's perspectives about going into dating. And I'm not saying you should date for the story. I'm saying it's a really good side effect of dating.
I would love if a date didn't work well. He'd obviously like, I'll give you $100 not to write about this in any fashion. Just please, please don't write about this.
I mean, because I've had serious relationships, the number of men that I've had to text and say, hey, I wrote about you. It comes with the territory. And I'm actually working on a piece now that's like, here's what you agree to when you agree to date a writer. Because and it's not, I'm not exploiting anybody. I'm documenting my life and I don't hide that from anybody. I couldn't hide it if I wanted to. But I also don't approach dates as content, which I think a lot of people might mistake my online persona for doing so. But there is an end goal. You know, I've always said dates are a means to an end, but like in my case, it's been a means to endless fodder. And I'm, you know, either way, I'm pretty content. Content or no content, I'm content.
Content with the content.
Right, you gotta come with it.
We have a lot of, I know I have a lot of married listeners and all this and ladies and guys listening or whatever. If we could break down maybe for people that aren't aware, what are the different dating apps that are out there right now? And I guess how you would classify them, because a lot of my friends that are females will say each one has like a little bit of a different bent to it. So how would you break them down? Of course we have Tinder, and now what is Tinder's main thing?
See, I think they all kind of have Tinder has a reputation for being a hookup app.
That's what I heard. Yeah.
But it's not. Tinder is exactly what you make of it. So if you go on Tinder to hook up, that is a good chance that's going to happen for you. And if you're going on Tinder to find something a little more romantic or serious, that's a good possibility also.
So like, it's endless possibilities, but it's almost like self-help. It's like whatever you put into it, you could potentially get back.
Exactly. It's like any scenario that whatever you put into it, you're going to get asked it. But I do think a lot of, you know, I don't think women are as adamant to make it clear. Like there's a lot of men on Tinder who just say in their profile, like, just here for hookups, whatever. Like, okay, thank you. Now
they'll be that upfront about it.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Which I think that's the difference in Tinder, is that more people are willing to say that's exactly what they're there for versus, you know, on Bumble. I love Bumble. But, and that's the one where the woman has
woman to choose. Chooses.
Well, you're both choosing, but she has to respond first. Or he disappears forever.
Oh my God. So much pressure.
Dating is just constantly eliminating men.
Wait, so wait, in Tinder, you swipe left to reject and you swipe right to say, yeah.
Correct.
And then there's on Tinder, there's a super like button.
Yeah.
And like, is that for like 5-year-olds? Like, I super like you. Yeah. Like what is it? Just like it puts you further into their profile.
Yeah. It gives you a little like blue star when they show up in your queue and it says,
very
this
fun.
Person super liked you. They pulled your ponytail on the playground. To be fair, a lot of super likes are immediate swipe lefts. You know, I think there's a lot of people.
Is it because like I'm like, if somebody super likes me, I don't like them. Like, it's almost like, how dare you super like me? You don't know what you're doing. Yeah.
I mean, kind of. the ones who super like don't tend to be the ones that I would normally swipe right on. And that's my personal experience. I've heard some similar scenarios, but you know, that's how it goes.
Is there like a roll of the dice though, of like when you get like some kind of alert, like you've got a new like or something like that? Is there always like, oh, big money. It's like Wheel of Fortune, like big money, big money, yeah, big money. And then like, oh, damn. Like, you know, immediate. And how immediately do we all know pretty immediately if we like somebody or not? Right. Like, or we're taught to snap judgment things.
And that's the other thing about dating apps is that you can get at this point, because I've been on them for a hot minute. I have a really good feel based on someone's profile and their bio and how they interact in the first couple exchanges. If they're worth meeting up for a drink, like obviously to even talk, you have to have both agreed that you like each other's faces. So you're in a good place there, but I think, you know, sometimes there'll be like a really hot guy and he's only got like 3 pics and his bio says like, I'm normal, haha. And you're like, okay, but you're really hot. And then you feel it out in the text exchange and it's kind of like, this guy is nothing.
Yeah,
and
I feel like if you're a good looking guy, you don't have to really work on any kind of verbal communication. Like, well, you're letting the hotness do a lot of the work.
Correct. And it's clear he's never had to do any of the work either. And, you know, and if you're just looking for a hookup scenario, then by all means, like, this could be a really good opportunity for you with this hot guy who has nothing to say.
What are the tropes that you'll see? You say like you're pretty adept now at like kind of break. Okay. 3 photos. Uh-huh. Da, da, da. What are the tropes that you notice on these things of like, oh, it's one of these guys. It's one of these guys.
Well, the number one thing that I think everyone talks about is fish pictures.
Oh yes, I did see this. A guy with a fish holding with fish.
And they're literally just like, they're holding this fish in a picture in a way that they're like, here, I caught this for you. and listen, I want to preface this by saying, like, if that's your interest, there is definitely like a woman out there wearing a Bass Pro Shop hat right now who can't wait to swipe right on him.
Yeah. But,
and it's also a good way to know that, like, this person and I have, I like, the only fishing I like to do is for compliments. And this is a good way to know this guy and I have nothing in common. So I don't say avoid them altogether, but I think sometimes an entire guy's profile will be dead animals.
Just, you know, slabs of meat. Yeah.
It's just like, give us a little variety. The bottom line is it's probably not a match for me personally, but they really are. And especially I lived in New York for a very long time and the fish pics, you know, they were few and far between. If it was a picture of a fish, they were at like a nice restaurant in Midtown and it was cooked.
And a lot of guys will do the like niece nephew thing.
Yeah. And I'm okay. You can have one of those. That's fine. Like if you took a really good picture with this small baby, you barely know, great. Like that's perfect.
This is a stranger's baby, just so everybody knows. Yeah.
Yeah. There's also people who will take pictures with animals that don't belong to them. And that's kind of like, that's like catfishing. That's like pet fishing.
Just five different dogs and five different pictures on somebody's profile. The other one I hear about, I don't know if you encounter, is the person that is already in a committed relationship, yeah, but they are still seeing what's out there. Have you run into that?
Oh, constantly. So there's the groups, there are men who literally say, well, there's people that are poly, first of all. And then there are people that are couples that are looking for a third. And this is fine. This is all great. Like whatever anybody's into. However, an app like Tinder, it's got everybody. So you can't filter that. Like you can't just say like, I'm
a person. It seems like that would be an easy thing to filter though. Are you looking for, it seems like that could be an easy thing to do.
I think if you pay for Tinder, you might be able to do that, but
okay.
We're not there yet. But yeah, it's people are, if they're, some of them will say I am in an unhappy marriage and I'm just seeing what's out
there. Hey, we'd really like to get something going before I end this other thing.
Yeah, they're like, I just want to see what's out there before I like end this completely. Which, all right, like to each their own. But it is a little distracting when every other available person is somebody who's like potentially in a relationship. So.
Well, and not to judge anybody with anything, like you said, any, you know, but at the same time, have you ever been so low where you're like, I might try a guy that's already in a full committed relationship? Like, I mean, like, does it ever get to that point of like, I get it's a Thursday, I have nothing to do, you know, or you like, no, I'm good. I'm very solid.
I feel like too many single women in their 30s get the questions that start, have you ever been so low?
No, I don't mean like that. Believe me, I'm the lowest of the low. Like I'm like, no, it's not heavy. But I do wonder if you do make like, how soon are what we're hoping for or the things that like, I was watching Love on the Spectrum, which I think you're aware of too. And there's this beautiful character, Michael. And he says, he was like, she ticks all my boxes. She checks all my boxes. And I just wonder about that sometimes with these things that we hope, like, I didn't even think about like boxes that I need checked. Like I'm not even at that. Like I got to write boxes down, you know?
Because I've been doing this for a hot second and one of my problems is that I have a type and there are certain things I am looking for and that's not a problem, but it does become a hindrance at some point when I've run out of matches and there were like, I won't date a man without a beard. It's the dumbest thing, but I don't trust a man without facial hair.
Do you ever try to convince a man to grow facial hair if you really
I've already swiped left on you if none of your pictures have a beard.
See, that's another thing that should be easy to filter, I feel like. Beard.
I agree. But yeah, I think, you know, we all have this idea in our heads about like who we want to date and who we want to end up with. And usually there's an overlap of the two, but I have never been to a point, like I feel very lucky to have always lived in big cities like New York and Seattle where I'm not running out of men. Anytime soon.
Well, that's the other thing too.
I might run out of them eventually, but
this weekend you're like, I ran out. I gotta do an addendum to the interview.
Luckily there's always new people moving. I'm like, Amazon's got a lot of issues, but I am thankful for it because its headquarters are here and it brings new men to Seattle all the time for jobs.
That's perfect. So, it's like it's like the Navy. My friend was showing me Tinder one time and he was like, yeah, it's kind of like a game. And I was like, that's so dangerous that we really think about these things. Like, can I beat the game? Can I beat this app? Can I get to the end of this app? Or like, which level can I get to? And it's real people.
I do think, But I do think you can win. and there are lots of losers in between. And I think, you know, it right. And I have to remind myself that dating is not about the story or the game or, but those are things I think that you're allowed to position this as to feel better about the fact that like, it is a crazy process. I tweeted recently that, because a lot of married friends or like coworkers, they're always like, what is it like? And I was like, have you ever seen a cute little raccoon rummaging through the garbage? Like, that's exactly how I feel every time. And the reality is, and then my like next metaphor is, you know, when everybody asks, okay, then why are you still digging through the garbage? And it's because, you know, there could be a diamond in there. You don't know.
Is that our thing too, though? Is that we'll never actually settle down because we're always rummaging for potentially a bigger diamond?
Yes. I mean, that was in New York. I thought.
Or like a bigger beard. Like you're like, that guy's got a better beard than that guy, you know?
Beards have limits.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think like in dating in New York, it was always or better offer. You know, if somebody, the reality is you could be dating somebody that was smart and funny and wonderful and cute, but there's a smart, funny, wonderful, cute guy around the corner too. Like it's a never ending cycle. So I think at one point you have to decide, like, am I willing to like put in the effort to like see if this is something? And that also means you have to be on the same page with that person. So it's frankly a wonder to me how anybody ends up together.
That's what I'm saying. And I'm so sorry to put out all my insecurities on you, but I feel like you're kind of a genius at this stuff. But that's the thing that scares me, especially after going through a marriage. You're just like, well, I know that, you know, there's, you know, you want to believe in like, there's like one, and then you're like, oh no, I probably could love a lot of people. And that's scary thought in itself. And you're just like, so it's like auditioning almost, where you like have to get the right part for the right person. You have to look the right way, and all of these things have to line up for this one. I mean, we don't have these Sleepless in Seattle scenarios, which, by the way, happy second day of fall to you. But you know, we're grown up, like we were raised on romantic comedies. We were raised on these beautiful romantic gestures. And that's the thing, is like, what to you in this day and age, it constitutes love.
Yeah. There's also a line from Sleepless in Seattle that's like, you don't want to be in love. You want to be in love in a movie. And
yes.
I that's how I've always felt. And I refuse to settle for anything less that feels like that, which is not realistic, unfortunately. And you know, I have been in long-term relationships. I have been in love. I have said I love you to men, and had it said back.
What if you're like, I'm really hoping to have it said back one day? It's gonna be exciting.
And I do, I think, and maybe I feel like I don't say this enough as part of my internet presence is also just who I am fundamentally as a human. Like, I am who I am online, but I'm also there's much more depth to me, of course, in real
life. But also, your internet presence is a good, you can tell you're a good-hearted person. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, some people can be very cold and callous and really funny, but you sense that you have a heart, you know?
Yeah, there's one in there somewhere. the goal of all of this, you know, even writing about dating life and having these stories and getting to meet and slowly eliminate every man on earth as being a potential mate, like, the goal is still to end up with somebody who, you know, maybe doesn't check every box. There's a few boxes they have to check, but you know, should.
Do you let them know if they're not checking all the boxes? You're like, you don't check them all, but you're really close.
Yeah. I recently did a storytelling, event where you read from one of your teenage diaries on stage.
Yeah.
And I read from my life journal from when I was 17, when I guess I've been documenting my dating life online for a very long time, since the foundation of the internet. And I had made a list when I was 17 of the 125 things I'm looking for in a boyfriend.
Oh my God. Wow.
They're insane. They're absolutely insane. They're like, he has to push the cart at the grocery store, and he has to like have his own room. I mean, I was in college, so, you know,
yeah, that's...
I was like, he had to drink Bud Light. Like, it was I lived in Texas, to be fair. And then it was like, he has to go to church every Sunday. And then right below that was like, he has to go down on me every day.
I mean, that's what God, I mean, if you are, yes. Hey guys, if you're into God, that's in the Bible. So exactly. It's not.
So I think, and you know, someone asked me after I read that list aloud, they're like, are you still looking for all those things? And I was like, now
doesn't have to go to church on Sunday anymore.
No. Yeah. And I'm willing to push the cart at the grocery store. But yeah, I think we, as we get older, we realize the things that are the most important. And I was telling one of my best friends that I recently went out on a date with a guy, and he checks a lot of boxes, but he has no ambition, no drive, like, and he's content with, you know, a part-time job that just, he gets by and he's happy. Like, and so that's great. And you can't argue with that. But in the long run, like I love being successful, and I love, you know, they're
trying things and doing things.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to keep going until, you know, I can't go any longer. And that's a dynamic that will never work in the long run. And my best friend was like, okay, but if you have kids, is he the type of guy who's going to get up at 2 a.m. and change a diaper? And I was like, well, I wasn't thinking about like diapers on my date, but like, yeah. Okay. And she's not wrong. Like there is something to be said that like, there's a certain point when you have to go, is this somebody that ultimately like I enjoy spending my time with, and the basic dynamics are there that are not going to be conflicting, and you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's the other thing too. I always think about relationships is that, you know, when you're single for a while, as you get older, you start to really know yourself better, you know, and that's sometimes it should be this amazing thing, but it sometimes makes you then harder to be with anybody else because you do know yourself better, your wants, your needs, your dislikes and all of that stuff. But when you're younger and you don't know, you're like just an idiot, you'll be like, you can be with anybody because you don't know what you like yet. You're just fumbling around in the dark.
And I've gotten to know myself so well. Like I'm really into me and I love spending time with me. I'm a great date, just me and myself. So, and I do, I think that makes it harder to find someone in the long run and I think, you know, I had read like 10 years ago about a couple that during the week they live in their separate apartments, and then on the weekends, and they're a couple that have been married for like 20 years and they live their own life separately, and then they come together.
Is it Kim and Kanye? Is that who
you're talking about? Okay. This is before their time. But could be. They could be the modern day version. Yeah, I do think that there's finding someone also who respects the fact that like you are not as available in the way that you were when you were younger, and you're like, I want to be in love and I want to be with somebody 24/7. Like the thought of being with someone 24/7 makes me want to jump off a bridge.
Well, I think about my high school girlfriend that was like, I was like, we promised our entire lives to each other. I mean, we would like be like, no, it was the, no, you hang up and being on the, I remember we would be on our phones and we would just like, don't hang up. Let's just fall asleep together. And it would be like 6 a.m. for high school to wake up and we would still be on the phone.
That's
and
so now romantic.
That it was, but now that horrified, like I got to go to bed. I want to watch
call
TV.
Me on the phone.
Like, can I put this on? Yeah. Like, that's what I'm like. I'll text you until I fall asleep, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I think our standards have changed a little bit, but that doesn't mean like there still should be that
spark. Under
like yes, that and I think a lot of people, I have a lot of friends who didn't feel a spark with the people that they're married to right now initially, and then it happened. And so a lot of my friends have encouraged me to like, even if you don't have like a spark on the first date, but everything else is there. If there's no spark and other things are missing, it's not worth it. But you know, when you're like, this guy's really great, but he's just missing this one like factor that I'm not sure I can get over, but like everything else is there, you know? And that's something I've always struggled with. I'm like, I don't have the kind of time to just like see if this is going to work maybe and go on another date with him. Like I'd rather cut my, like, it was nice to meet you. Like,
yeah.
Let's move on, because I want that first encounter to be right out of a fucking movie. And I know that's not asking a lot.
It's not asking a lot, but it's also it's a somewhat fun place to live in that kind of that realm of hoping and not being so jaded and that never is possible to happen, you know? Right.
And I think that there's a happy medium between like wanting to have this rom-com romance and, you know, not just being like, this is fine. Like there is, I think that there is that happy medium, and I wish it for everyone.
We got totally off track. So Bumble is where the girl yeah. makes the choice, or, you know, the guide, and then they have to respond first. Is there, Bumble seems to be what I hear a lot of people's favorite one. Is that
the quality of people on Bumble tends to be a little better. People, for some reason, they choose better pictures on Bumble. Guys have much better pictures on Bumble than I've ever seen. On Tinder, they're like up the nose, blurry selfies in like a dirty bathroom. And on Bumble, like you can tell a lot of them like asked a friend to take a nice picture of them, which is what more men should be doing, not afraid to ask their like bros to do like a little.
So you think, so girls like when guys put time into a dating profile because it shows a lot more about how they would actually treat
you. Yeah, yes. And it's, you know, I think every time I post something about guys needing to put more effort into their dating profiles, well, guys will come to my comments immediately and they'll be like, well, women use filters. Okay. You can at least still like see who we are as people. Yours is just a picture of a tree. So like men think we want to see what the things that they like and not their faces. It's the most bizarre phenomenon. And that's all I'm trying to do when I write these pieces and these tweets, is letting men know we want to see their faces at a bare minimum. And there's a way to do it. So Bumble tends to be a little more, for some reason, they make a little more effort and put a little more effort into their profiles. And you can filter on Bumble by political belief, which is important to a lot of people.
You find a lot of people lying about political belief in this day and age, because if they're like Republican, I sometimes would personally, I would not click on a Republican. I'm sorry to any Republicans out there, because I just know that wouldn't work. But like, do people go like, I'm moderate, I swear to God, I'm moderate, just to get some dates?
And I'm with you. I wouldn't swipe right on a Republican at this point in my life or ever. And a lot of them do put moderate, and I've never swiped right on somebody.
Okay. So, you know, that's like, yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely a cop out, and it's, you know, pick a side. And, and you probably already did pick a side. You're just trying to seem a little more reasonable.
Yeah.
So nice you can filter by that.
And then, you know, Bumble and then Hinge. What is Hinge's big draw?
I like Hinge because I don't swipe. You don't have to swipe. You with Tinder and Bumble, you obviously can spend way too much time sifting through. With Hinge, I wait and see who likes me, and it'll be like, Dan likes you. And then I just go in and say yes or no. So I kind of use Hinge as more of like my own personal like matchmaking service. And I don't just sit in the app and
you're not going. Yeah. You're not trying to find guys. You wait for the guys to come to you.
I'm not using it the way it's intended to be used, but I don't have, you know, I keep saying I don't have the time. I've got lots of time. it's just, you know, it'll be like, Jeremy likes you. And I'm like, all right, cool. Like, let's go check Jeremy out. And then, you know, it feels like it's nice to be in a position where, you know, someone's already into you, instead of on like Bumble or Tinder, you're swiping and you're like, eek, like, is it going to be a match? Is this person going to swipe left on me? Whereas you already know this person's into you, so you get to say yes or no.
Well, and with, if we're using Jeremy as an example, do we sleep on Jeremy? Go like, you know what? I'm not feeling it right now, but let's see how I wake up on Saturday feeling about Jeremy. Do you keep him in the queue, or do you have to decide right then and there?
You can't just ask a lady if she sleeps on Jeremy.
Sorry, she cuddles with Jeremy overnight. Yeah, no, I mean, no, I'm saying like, do you sit there and go, you know what, I'm not sure about Jeremy. Let me see how I feel about Jeremy next week, you know?
Yeah. Oh, totally. The thing is, if you're not paying for Hinge, you can't see the next person that likes you unless you make a decision about Jeremy.
Oh, that's a big.
So yeah, there have been times when I'm like, all right, I kind of like his vibe, but there's something off about it. So I'm not ready to say no. So I'll just like close the app and not think about it for a while. And then move on. Like, I also think that maybe if there's if you're hesitating, like move on, swipe left or because, well, maybe that's bad advice, because then maybe I don't know. Don't take my advice there. Yeah. A lot of people would say like, no, just give them a shot. Like, you don't even know who this person is yet. But if I'm hesitating, it's because there's something on the profile that like, I'm not sure is potentially like redeemable in real life.
Well, yeah. What are other troubling profiles? I see a lot of girls talk about how they don't like hiking. Like, don't invite me to hike. That's a troubling thing. Sometimes I hear from ladies. What are other troubling besides fish?
Well, the hiking thing is related to the fact that you should never agree to a date with a man in the woods, especially on the.
I mean, God, now, I mean, I know, all joking aside, I mean, that God, isn't that the case? Yeah.
Correct. Right. So it's just a safety measure. I think a lot of women that say that probably like to hike. They just, that's not a date contender for like, starting off the bat. Yeah, there's a lot of guys will say that they're fluent in sarcasm. That's,
ew.
Yeah, it's, no, that's not language, sir. Yeah, those are a few that I don't have a tolerance for. I appreciate the guys that are like just looking for something casual. I used to joke that if you match with a guy and he doesn't have that in his bio, but then he's like, I'm just looking for something casual, that you should just send him a link to like a Gap V-neck tee.
I would love some guys like looking for marriage and kids.
Or a pair of sweatpants, whatever casual.
I feel bad for the old dating apps that I remember when it was like match.com and the ones you would see on, I feel like they missed the whole dating app boom, you know?
And they're expensive too. I've never signed up for one, but I think I did, like, there was one weekend that they did like a trial, you know, and they're like, come see what's on here. And I was like, oh my God, it's what's on the free apps also.
Well, that's the other thing. Do you start to see the same people on all the apps? Like, it's Brian. I saw him on Hinge on Thursday.
Yes. Some of these men are like my coworkers. Like I have seen some of them, the same guys on these apps for years.
Man, this guy's done a tour of duty now for like six years on this thing. Yeah.
Picture a wardrobe upgrade with quality essentials at an unbeatable price. Quince has you covered with timeless pieces that never go out of style. You will have them in your closet forever. You guys, I got the blue sports jacket. I got the leather coat. I got the cashmere socks. I've bought gifts for my sister and my dad, and I love it. A black leather coat? Are you kidding me? I can wear that anywhere. And what's so amazing is that these prices I can afford. Quince has all the must-haves like Mongolian cashmere crew neck sweaters from $50, iconic 100% leather jackets, and versatile flow knit activewear. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They do this by partnering directly with top factories. Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes that savings on directly to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, so you can feel good about what you're wearing on every level. So indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/sobad for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sobad to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/sobad.
Guys, here is the point of the show where I do a couple of ads for sponsors, and I always get so excited about this because I love when people advertise on the show. So our first one is a new one, and it is called Magic Spoon. Now, growing up, cereal for me, and I think for all of us, was one of the best parts of being a kid. And especially even after being a kid, I remember when I had the freedom to buy my own cereal, I would just buy the sugary, like, name brand cereal, like Fruity Pebbles and Cocoa Pebbles and all, like, honey, what is it, Golden Grahams, all that stuff, because anyways, I used to love cereal, but I had to give it up because unfortunately my body started not being able to digest highly sugary crap like that that we really shouldn't be eating. So as you know, I've been on a weight loss journey, I feel like for my entire life. I'm trying to cut down on carbs and sugar and unhealthy food, and I realized basically I can't eat anything anymore. But this is what's really cool is that this sponsor, Magic Spoon, sent me a box of cereal, and I got scared because I was like, I can't eat that. But it turns out Magic Spoon has 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 net grams of carbs in each serving. Plus, it is only, get this, 140 calories a serving. It's keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, and low-carb. And I bet you're thinking, okay, but it is horrible, probably, the taste. And guess what? It is not horrible to taste.
There are all of these different flavors. They sent me cocoa, fruity, frosted, peanut butter. You can get a whole variety pack of all four of those. The only bad thing, you guys, is that I ate a lot of servings. So it's like, this is really good. I kept eating the servings because I'm out of control. I actually did this thing too, where I mixed a bunch of them together and I put oat milk over it, and it was really good. It tastes exactly like the regular cereal that I used to pig out on, and it turns out it's super nutritious. I mean, it actually has protein. That is so weird to me. It's delicious. It's super healthy cereal that really, I think it could bring joy to your mornings or afternoons or evenings or middle of the night. It's brought me joy in all of those categories. So go to magicspoon.com/sobad to grab a variety pack and try it today. And be sure to use our promo code SOBAD. That's very important at checkout to save $5 off your order. $5. Wow. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they will refund your money, no questions asked. We always talk about products like those on this show because those are the good ones. If you don't like it, they are willing to back their product. So remember, get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/sobad and use the code SOBAD to save $5 off. Thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode. That is very exciting. Now, on the same health kick, our next sponsor is Ready Slim. And Ready Slim, they've advertised with us before. So this is the deal. And especially coming out of sickness, and I was doing this before I got really ill, and I started doing this again. I actually have been feeling better. And I think it might be because of doing things like Ready Slim and Magic Spoon. This last week, I have more energy. I've felt lighter. I get a good night's sleep. I'm sleeping way too much. And a couple days this week, I actually did wake up feeling super refreshed every morning. So the mornings that I did that, it turns out I was doing Ready Slim's detox teas. Ready Slim's detox teas are made with high-quality, 100% organic herbs that gently boost your metabolism and help digestion while also reducing bloating and gas. I added this to my healthy lifestyle, or what I'm trying to be a healthier lifestyle, and I already have knocked off 5 pounds. So Ready Slim's detox teas are made with no fillers, no additives, and no laxatives, so they are safe to drink daily. Ready Slim's 28-day detox tea kit has everything you need. The Wakey Wakey Morning Detox Tea, which they have sent me, helps boost your energy levels to start your day off right. And then their Snoozy Night Detox Tea helps you relax and supports the natural detox process while you get your well-deserved beauty sleep. And I super need that, folks. And the best part of Ready Slim is how it aids in weight loss. Plus, it is keto-friendly. So like I said, I have been doing that in the morning and the evening, and it's kind of nice too, because tea at night, especially my mom, I grew up and she was, she would always have her cup of nighttime tea, and it really kind of makes me feel good. I feel like, oh wow, I'm doing what my mom used to do. This is kind of nice, but it's actually helping in my digestion and metabolism. So say hello to a better, brighter you. And right now, for a limited time, you can save 25% off your first order of Ready Slim's 28-day detox tea kit, plus get a free collapsible water bottle. Go to readyslim.com/sobad. That's readyslim.com/sobad to save 25% off your first purchase of Ready Slim's 28-day detox tea kit, plus, like I said, a free collapsible water bottle. readyslim.com/sobad. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the remainder of my conversation with Sarah K. Runnels.
Even when I go back to New York and I open my apps, I'm like, this guy's still on there? Like, and it feels, I'm like, good. Like, I guess we're in the same boat still. Like,
that is kind of funny of watching somebody, like, if they change their pictures, I'm like, yeah. Oh, wow, he got slimmer. Well,
there's the guys that you see forever repeatedly that you've never gone out with for a reason. Like, you've never swiped right on them. And then there are the guys that you swipe right on and they're like, didn't we go out like 5 years ago? Oh, and that's happened to me like I think two or three times.
So wait, it'll go back in your feed even if you've already dated them?
No, because most of the time if you go out with somebody, you can unmatch them if it doesn't work out. And then eventually it, I think either they, I haven't figured out if the apps like actually will re-show you somebody that you went out with if they didn't like deactivate and start over. But it's happened. So
I wonder if any of these guys will ever be like, hey, you guys might have seen me on here before. I feel like I've really done some personal growth and would love a second shot with anybody out here, you know?
Yeah, I matched with a guy a couple weeks ago who I went out with before the pandemic, and we had a good first date, but he was just kind of, we were both kind of like,
pandemic.
Yeah. And then I was like, all right, I saw him a couple weeks ago and I swiped right and he had swiped right on me. And he's like, so what have you been up to the last 2 years? Do anything fun? And I was like, have I done anything fun in the last 2 years? Like, yes. Like, do you want flip notes? it's a weird dynamic.
Now, I don't think I have to ask you about Christian Mingle or Farmers Only. You probably don't mess around on those, but I know those are apps as well for certain types of people.
They've got apps for everybody. It's wild.
I wonder if there's any interlopers on Christian Mingle that are like, they're not Christian, but they're just looking for, they've exhausted all other possibilities.
There's a good chance. My mom and I once were watching an episode of 90 Day Fiance, and there was a woman who had met the guy that she was talking to on a Mormon dating app. And my And my mom looked at me and she goes, that's probably the only one you're not on.
Thank you. Hey, thanks, Mom. I don't need the comment.
Like,
I like to watch shows in silence. Well, speaking of 90 Day Fiance, which I am a religious viewer of, it does make me feel good in a lot of ways, but it always just confuses me of like, why are they going so far out of their way for love? Like you can, like some of these people, I'm like, wait, you literally can find love in America. None of these people, I mean, these people are bad, but none of these people are so bad where they, and I also feel like, why are we exporting, like, why, I mean, like America, like go USA, like why are we exporting love like this?
It is a weird phenomenon, but I fully support it because it has given us this gift of this TV show that is an absolute train wreck. But yeah, there a lot of the time I've looked at these couples and been like, this is so painfully mismatched. And I think some of them must just like the challenge. I've heard a lot of the guys, and especially in a couple of the initial episodes or first couple seasons, were like, you know, American women are just too like mouthy and they're too like, bossy. And like, yeah, he's not wrong, but like, you don't need to go across the world and give yourself like the ultimate hardship of getting this person who you love to come to America. And I fully people who are absolutely truly in love, like they deserve to be together. And I could tell you every step of process of the K-1 visa because I've watched.
That's what I mean. It is funny where I'm like, well, he's not going to get approved. We all know that.
Yeah,
like, there's just no way. And then I'm like, I'm worried that they can't get over here because of the pandemic, you know, like, yeah. I'm like, I mean, and also the other thing about that show I find fascinating is it makes people like Colty, you guys know Colty from Vegas. It makes him, he thinks he's a damn Don Juan now because he's gotten so many girls from overseas.
When there was the episode where he was like caught sending his like his dick pics to everybody, yeah. I was like, who is asking for these? I need to know who wants to see that. Like, yeah, this guy thinks he is like the king of the world.
Did you see his OnlyFans stuff?
Did I pay money?
No. I wasn't like that. No, but he was in like these red satin pajamas. And then he like took off, unbuttoned the shirt. And then I'm like, there's his mom's taking these photos. There's no way his mom is not taking these photos. And then do you ever mess around on Cameo where you can go and see all of Colt's cameos? And he'll always be like, hey, Rebecca says you're into me and just wanted to give you a little special. And he's being punked so hard all the time, but he fully believes.
He doesn't care.
He doesn't. And he's hooking up with like a lot of people.
And the fact that he, of all people on this franchise, he has been shown with at least like three different like long-term women, which is the wildest part of it all. Or more than that, I think it's like four or five. It's, and then those aren't even the women that are God only knows what. He's a guy who lives when he was. Did you watch The Single Life? The 90 Day Single Life?
Yeah.
Did you pay for Discovery Plus to watch it before?
Of course, yeah.
Me too.
It was either that or the OnlyFans, and I went with the Discovery Plus.
I know. Yeah. I was like, I'm so jealous of the people that are watching The Single Life now on TLC because now they've finally moved it over.
Yeah.
And They knew what they were doing with that show. But they showed him at a speed dating event, and he was like, yeah, I'm 39. I live with my mom. I have 5 cats. I'm divorced. And he just kept going on and on. And I was like, and this woman was like, cool. Like, what is wrong with America?
Wait, I love when there was an episode where Colty got upset about, or I think he got it. Like, he was like, damn it, I'm going to do a shot. And it was like butterscotch schnapps. He was just like, oh, it's been a hard day. And I'm just like, this guy is wild. Like, it's just wild. Yeah.
He seems like the kind of guy, like him and his mom have like a bottle of Malibu rum
in a
cabinet that's been there for a really long time.
It's dusty all the time.
Like, we're drinking tonight. And yeah.
But it was also interesting, the 90 day thing. And I would always be upset at Bravo because I feel when the pandemic happened, they like sent GoPros out to everybody on 90 Day Fiance. And it was just like, film whatever you want. And they packaged that together as shows of like, and I watched all of it. And it just shows how easy these TV shows can be created, you know?
But also because, I mean, for the most part, they're endlessly fascinating. Like the particularly the 90 Day crew, like, yes, a majority of these reality stars are just like fascinating to watch because you can't believe what they're doing most of the time. But for some reason, there's a level of mess on 90 Day that just makes like I think like the Big Ed stuff, like his dating life. I mean, I would watch unedited footage of that.
Like, and then for him to like date the one girl, and then it was like, I saw you at the bar last night talking to a guy, you know? And I'm like, oh my God, dude, like you should not even attempt to be jealous, you know?
That is the thing. I think that's a common trend with these couples is that like, I think a lot of the guys more so than the women just don't have a good fundamental grasp on like being in a relationship. I think a lot of them say that. They say like, this is my first real girlfriend I know Ed was like married or something.
Yeah.
It had been a while. I guess he was jumping back in the game in a way and just didn't know. And maybe maybe they think going, you know, out of America, like these women aren't going to know that they're like really bad at dating.
Undesirable. Yeah.
Yeah.
And well, the Ed thing is, I just don't like, I just hate the fact that potentially there are young women out there that like Ed is going to be potentially like the one that screwed me up, you know, like the one that psychologically messed with me. And you're like, Big Ed from 90 Day Fiance psychologically messed with you? But it's true.
I mean, talk about dating for the story. Like that girl, the one that he dated for so long and every episode, I just couldn't believe, because I was like, this is the episode where she's going to go,
no,
all right, you guys, like, just kidding. I was just wanted some like TV time. She'd be like, I love him. I had sex with him. And I'm just like, what? And it's funny too, because anytime I watch these with my mom, she's always been like, they just want to be TV stars. And I'm like, no, a lot of them don't. And that's why it's even more mind blowing that they're willing to like put this it's very vulnerable, and I appreciate them.
But it is funny though, when I feel like there's a shelf life on that. There's only like a certain amount of years that you should be able to be on these shows because you do start sensing where they're comfortable with it, where they're like, Colty's like, okay, what is this? Like a 2-shot? Okay. Once you get me coming in, and then I'm going to talk to my mom. And like, you can see they're getting more comfortable with it, and it's like bad improv all of a sudden, you know?
You know who I feel like has stayed steadily the same? Have you watched any of Darcy and Stacey?
Yeah. Well, their faces have not stayed the same, but yeah, I mean, like that. Have you seen her Instagram lately?
It's all like cartoon wild character.
It's, I know. I'm like, how is this? It's so sad.
It makes me really sad because she's like, I feel for her. Like she deserves a nice man. And
you juxtapose that with her daughters, Aniko and Aspen, who are like, seem like really nice younger ladies. And they seem to be raised by Darcy and Stacey's father, thank God. And but it is weird when you're just like, oh my God, this is like a real, they exist.
I know. But she's also like textbook, like dates the same type of guy every time. And they're not like physically the same type, but like these are men that are so like emotionally unavailable, and it's very clear from the get-go, and she falls head over heels immediately, and then it's just tears for the remaining storyline.
Yeah, like we know that there's no way she'll ever break that pattern. I mean, like, it just that's what's, and I guess it's like cool if you really like that show, but like, in fact, one time I interviewed Darcy at a 90-day press junket, mm-hmm. and she was hammered. Like, she, and this was like 5 p.m. and the TLC wow. rep had to be like with her, like, you know, like just in case. And it was just like somebody like you talking to you that they were just looking through you, yeah. and I was like, what? And she's like, you're cute. You want a date? And I was just like, wow. And then I took
Ryan. That was your chance.
Well, how do I was on a season with Darcy. No, I mean, could you imagine? I'm like, yeah, we dated a little bit, but she didn't check all the boxes. But it was one of those funny things where you're just like, oh my God, this isn't just a TV show. You're like this in real life too. Like I'm facing you and you're saying the dialogue I've heard you say on the show.
I would love for her to just meet some like boring ass guy in Connecticut and they just, and she gets off TV.
It's the same with the Kardashians, like date an accountant. Like you've tried like NBA players yeah. and musicians. Like why not go like, you know, like a CPA or something?
I would watch one of them date an accountant. That sounds hilarious.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
Apes hunt humans.
That is wrong.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Imagine like they're like, I've never had love like this in my life. Like we watch TV shows together. We binge watch shows. Like they probably would be, it would all be foreign to them what a normal relationship would be.
I just sit there and watch him add up his little numbers and then go to bed.
Have you heard of this thing, a calculator? This is crazy. As we start, this has gone already so quick. Let's take it though. Oh, Raya. That's the other one. Did you ever do Raya? Raya is for you would be on Raya because you're a successful person.
I'm famous enough to be on.
Really? I would think you would definitely be on Raya. Okay.
I applied to be on it, but I'm on the wait list. Like everybody else. Are you on Raya?
No. But I read this tweet that was cracking me up where the guy was like, you know what? I didn't appreciate my girlfriend until, he's like, until I made a fake account with her picture on it. And I got literally 1,000 requests in the first day on like Tinder or something like that. He's like, you know, I was always under this kind of impression that I am unique. Nobody would ever want to fill my shoes. And he's like, there's 1,000 people behind me waiting to fill my shoes. And I wonder if that was the case for you, if there's like this, you know, guys is your inbox always just flooded? It is always like girls are always going to be flooded and guys, it's more of a drip, drip, drip.
Yeah. I love, that's a great euphemism. My inbox being flooded.
Sorry.
Yeah. What's funny is when my account started, doing numbers, my favorite dating app became Instagram. Honestly,
that was what I was going to say too. Yeah. Even on today, when you were answering questions, you had all these people going, you're beautiful and hot. I would treat, you know, like how do you then treat Instagram as a dating app?
Yeah. I think, you know, the piece that I had written about my quarantine,
yeah,
that was the guy who slid into my DMs on Instagram. So it's possible.
But it sounded like you were peers, that guy, and you, and it's, you know, like there, it wasn't like, you know, but
yeah, I knew of him, but
yeah, right,
he took the initiative and slid right in. And yeah, I think I've been trying also that sliding into someone's DMs is a great, I fully support it because worst case scenario, they don't ever reply to you. And on Instagram, you can just unsend it like it never happened. But I think, you know, yes, I get a lot of DMs from guys who are interested, and then they have private accounts. Their profile picture is of like a car. And it's like, I'm not going to, you know, if you're going to slide into someone's DMs, like, present as much information as possible. I'm not going to do the research. You have to give me the highlight. And I'm not just saying me personally. I'm saying, if you're going to slide into someone's DMs, like, be like, hey, I think you're hot and fun and smart. Here's my situation. I'm single. I think you're cute.
But then wouldn't you be like, dude, this guy wrote me a novel. It's like, you wouldn't be like, that's creepy.
I would love a novel. I write novels to men all the time. Like, men that I'm dating, like, I can't just, if there's something that isn't going right, like, I'm like opening up the notes app and I can't wait to write like a prolific little piece of prose to them to get my feelings across. And then they'll be like, okay.
my stomach doesn't feel good. Yeah.
Okay. I just like spilled my heart to you. And by nature, obviously I say too much all the time. And as a writer, I document and I want to put my feelings on paper. And I forget that like men don't digest that. Like if a man wrote what I wrote to them, I'd be like, holy shit, like this, you're checking like one of the top like five boxes. Like I will marry you. Thank you. And when I write them, guys are like, yeah, they don't. I mean, for the most part, if they didn't respect that, then they're
He's
not.
Like, I gotta print this out for my scrapbook. This is for my scrapbooking this weekend.
At this point though, I feel like I do have, like, I could make a book of notes I've written to men in the notes app and then pasted over.
Yeah, that was one of your tweets. You were very nervous about somebody reading your notes app or something like that. I thought that was great.
It's wild in there, but it's the reason I have a lot of good ideas too. But yeah, I think if you're going to slide into someone's DMs, there's a good way to do it. I don't really think you need to present a novel. I think people, most of the time, I'm like, his profile picture is cute. And he wrote a clear message and his intentions are clear.
His sentence structure was decent. Yeah.
Yes. He used proper punctuation and grammar. And I'll engage. And
well, I mean, that's the other thing too. And I know this is sometimes I don't get offended by this because I agree, but there is this, I think there's a grand awakening to that men are trash, you know, that we see, you know, or even that, you know, even in terms of reality shows, it takes so little for men to be like, there's a character PK that's married to Dorit on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. And he had two good episodes in a row where he actually said shit that actually made sense. And like, women were like, I'd like to fuck him now. Like, that guy's hot. That guy is like, it takes so little. And I was like, wait a sec. He did four seasons where he was disgusting and he did two episodes in a row. And now he's like eligible.
The bar is very, very low. And listen, I'm going to get a drink at it, but it is very, very low for guys in general, which is why any sort of effort is seen as like,
this guy really loves me. Yeah.
Which is really fucked up, but that's how it is. And I think, if you're going to kick off a message to a woman in particular, like, put some effort into it. The amount of guys that have been like, there's, I have a tweet about like, some guy said, wow, how are you single? And it was literally just like how he just banged on the keyboard, hoping like a sentence came out. And like, I've taken like,
predictive text. Yeah.
Yeah. And I do freelance copy editing and you're not paying me to copy edit what you just wrote, 'cause I have no idea what it was. Just make,
could you punch up my message to you? Yeah.
Yeah. It comes down to like, you know, and consistency too. And right. Like, PK obviously came through and people lost their shit over it, but
it's, I mean, even as a guy, I even noticed that where I'm like, wow, you guys will give away your likes so easily. Like, it doesn't really take much. And that is something fascinating. Do you don't mess around with the Bachelor franchise at all, do you?
I watch Bachelor in Paradise, but I haven't done like the full Bachelor's.
Oh,
like,
good. You don't need. See, I only feel like Bachelor in Paradise is the important, because I feel like that's the only reason Bachelor and Bachelorette should exist, as a feeder system into Bachelor in Paradise.
100%.
But that's another thing in terms of love. It cracks me up of like, they're all on this island and they're like, they have to hook up to like, they have to find love. So all of a sudden, like, you're treating love like grocery store Joe or whatever. The first episode, he was feeling. So he was just staring off into the ocean. And I'm like, dude, you're on an island for there. Calm down. Like this is it. And that's the thing.
Yeah,
is
I
that
love they're treating, Joe.
Joe's kind of slow. He's always like, wait a sec. So you're telling me you came here. He's always like trying to work it out in his head. But it is so funny how serious they take love. Like it is the but most
not,
serious.
But no, I don't think that's fair to say. They're not taking love seriously. It's literally a game.
Yes.
They're taking the game seriously.
But in their head, I think they think it's love. I think they've now confused the Instagram and love.
Made them feel that way. I don't know. I think they know. I mean, I honestly thought what, who's the guy that scammed the other girl?
Oh yeah. I see. That's the bad thing. I watch every episode. I know
there's too many names to remember.
Cause of grocery store. Yeah.
I can tell you more reality star men's names than I can the last 10 men I went on a date with. So there's that. For them to say like, we're only here for the clout. I was like, finally, at least somebody said it. Like, I know a lot of them go with the intention to like find love, quote unquote, which is very funny to do in like that amount of time. It's comical. It's comical to like think that you can end up, I'm not saying it's not possible, but what could you know about a human on a sweaty ass beach in like 3 weeks?
Yeah. And there's never, and it's not like it has a great track record. It's not like they're proven of like, we've have 80 couples that are still together. They're always like divorced or split up. Yeah. It is. I do love that they are so intense about the island, but the thing about the social media was crazy because the one guy got busted for saying, yeah, like I did it for the clout. And then all the people were so offended by it, which was just like, it was like the pot calling the kettle. I'm like, everybody's here for the, like the fact that you're getting outraged is really funny.
They're also good actors, not good actors.
But no, because if you gave them actual script, they would screw it up.
No.
They would screw it up. Yeah.
I don't mean like they could read from a script. I mean, like they're good at being like, oh, she's here for clout. No, not me. Like, you know, they know what they're doing,
but for some reason it's so watchable. It's so viewable to me.
It's a mess. It's straight up like it's. I love not to like quote Marie Kondo, but like I love that. Like I, it's great. That is why we watch these train wrecks happen because you know. And although I did read that the past episode was like really boring, so I'm like, I think
it was boring. And they even tried to act like there was like a big thunderstorm coming, and I was like, how amazing if that just really did tear the entire like people were lost. Like we lost five of the cast. They just went to a hotel. Like they went to a hotel for the night, you know?
Honestly, one of my favorite parts of Bachelor in Paradise is like the producer's cut of the animals reacting.
that's what my favorite thing is. They do this on The Bachelor and Bachelorette where like they're introing the contestant and they'll have, I always wonder what the direction is because they'll always be contemplative looking out into the sunset or to the woods. And it's always like, they're all, you know, I'm like, is the director like, yeah, think about love. Think about where you're at in life right now. Cause they're always just like staring off into the distance and us, the viewers put emotion to that.
I really want a Bachelor in Paradise or maybe like any reality show that is not hot people. Like I'm tired of watching like, even, you know, the Love is Blind and even that show that they did where they put the animal costumes on.
Oh yeah. What was that called?
Hot
Yeah. Well, that was the thing. Yeah. Love is Blind. Like, well, you put some uglies in there. It's like Summer House. Like everybody has abs. Where are the people like me that don't have abs? Where's our representation
exactly.
out there?
Of course that's going to feel like paradise because everyone looks like they walked out of like a catalog. Like I want to go to a beach where everyone looks like they're a little uncomfortable to be in a bathing suit.
I'm just like, hey, that's the guy that wore a shirt in the pool, you know?
Yeah, and he's cute. Let's go talk to him.
Well, that is like, you would actually root more for those people. And that's why I think there's more romance in Love on the Spectrum where, cause you're like this guy, like, that's what I always thought it was so beautiful is that, you know, Michael, like he just wants to be a husband. Like he just wants to love somebody. And it's really interesting to see it through his eyes, you know?
And also because part of being on the spectrum for them is being so clear and literal with their emotions. And I appreciate that because he's just like, I want this. And I feel that I like looking at you right now. Like there, and like, there's something to that where you're just like, a man that says what he is feeling, like right then and there, it's really like heartwarming. And it's,
but then it's heartbreaking though. When I got to the part where he was like, you know, I'm going to call her and say, I'm not, you know, I just, and I was like, no, like I'm more invested in Michael's love life than my own, you know, I'm like, oh, I gotta,
what about, really hope he's, what about Mark though?
Is Mark the Jurassic Park guy, or is he the new guy?
Mark's with
the
dinosaur, and then Michael's the guy in the suit.
Also. Yeah, Mark. Well, Mark was another one that says, like, you know, like, I just wanted to let you know, don't, you know, right, we'll be friends. And I was like, oh, but he was up front. He was up front with her, you know, he didn't string her along.
I know. And the I think I'm only halfway through the second season, but the last, the last date I watched, you know, he brought her the corsage in the middle of the day. I'm just like, honestly, at this point in my dating life, if a man busted out a corsage, I'd be like, hell yeah. Like, I wouldn't even be like, that's like, maybe 5 years ago, I'd be like, this is so weird. And now I'd be like, that is the most romantic thing I have seen in a hot second.
I remember in my early 20s, or like, that was like, there was a small period of time where I was actually dating, and I went on a double date with my buddy Patrick, and we went to a dollar store and we got grab bags for the girls, like get gifts, you know, like we just bought a bunch of like dollar store, but it's still to this day, those girls will message and just say like, what a crazy fun date that was. It was like a silly thing of like, you got to go away with a gift. You know, it was silly.
Silly is a good word.
you're like, that's not, yeah, okay. Never mind. As we close up, what is the worst date that you've ever been on? We do all these apps, and we've missed the part where you actually set up these dates and you have to manage all of these things. And also, is there an amount of dates you'll do in a week? You're like, I can only handle two a week.
Yeah, it depends on the week. I work a lot, so it's trying to maneuver that schedule as well. But one of my favorite things to do is to double up. And
on the same day?
I call it double dating, but it is only me and different men. I recently, one of my most recent missions was, I met with the first guy at like 5:30, and then I had planned to meet the other guy at 8. And normally I wouldn't meet a guy at 5:30. I would meet later, but I could tell, like, I had a good vibe that this guy and I were going to get along really well. And I have a bad habit of, if I'm enjoying my time and they are too, like, I've had like 8 hour, 10 hour dates. And I had drinking through all of them. So that never, it ends well a lot of the time, but it's just not a smart thing to do. And I, you know, my friends are always like, you need like a stopwatch to tell you it's time to leave the date. And I'm like, if an alarm or something went off in the middle of a date, I would think that was hilarious. And I would like tell him what it was. So I was like, okay, you're right. I do need to leave a date early. So I'm going to set up a second date as the way to leave.
And I love that you did that with the guy that you actually thought you'd get along with. You put a timetable on that guy, not the other one.
Well, listen, I wouldn't go out with a guy I didn't think I'd get along with.
So yeah,
the guy
that's true.
Date, I knew he was like, I could just tell he wasn't going to be long-term. Like there were, like he had vibes, like short-term vibes, and everything went like the 5:30 date was perfect and it went well. It's the best behaved I've ever been on a date in my life. Which is the cutoff points are great.
Is it same location?
I have done that before. I have like sat in a chair and like dismissed one and watched the other one walk through the door. That is not for amateurs.
By the way, guys, don't do. Yeah, if you're listening, do not. This is like this is a professional. She has a license. It's not
exactly. Don't try this at home or at your local bar. So, if it's a week that's pretty busy, I will try to do that.
How hard is it to be present though when you're so used to like? I mean, I imagine at this point it's a little bit like a stand up. Like I got my intro. I know these stories are always just gold. Like, is it sometimes like going through the motions?
You know, sometimes. But if it started to feel like stale and boring during like a first date, then to me that person's not bringing enough to the table to make it exciting. Like, true, yes, there's your standard, like, what do you do? What do you enjoy doing? Whatever, which is very comical in Seattle, because I'll be like, what do you like doing? And they'll say, well, I like hiking and biking and skydiving and dangling off rocks and climbing up rocks and climbing down rocks. And they're like, what are your hobbies? And I'm like, short-term dating.
I like to drink White Claws.
yes. yeah. So it does vary by the guy. And I think the best dates are the ones that, like, I don't feel like this is every other first date. It feels like there's a vibe there and this is going well. And he's got a lot to say and I've got a lot to say. We're both genuinely curious about each other. I think when you can start to sense that someone isn't really, like, you know, men are notorious for not asking enough questions. That doesn't mean all of them, but, like,
you know,
women by nature are more engaging and keep the conversation going. The last date I went on, I asked him what his dating app experience had been like, and he told me, and then, you know, I was kind of waiting for him to ask back, and I was like, you didn't ask me about my dating life. And he's like, honestly, like, a couple minutes ago you said, well, I've been on dates with hundreds of men. And I was like, oh shit, okay, well, yeah, I guess that sums it up.
there's not been, like, I have this one horrible date that I've told the audience many times, where I was so nervous that I was so preoccupied in my head that I got out of my car, went on the date. It was great. And then we were going to go to a second location and we had met there and I was going to drive her. And then as we got closer to the car, I realized I had left my car running the entire time and locked my keys and it had set fire to the car. and the only reason I knew was that, like, the CD I was playing at the time, I was like, oh, Counting Crows. I like Counting Crows. I was just playing them. And then I realized, oh no, that's my car. Like, and it was just one of those really, and I just think to this day, that poor lady that had to watch all that go down and act like it was okay that I had done that.
If something's going down, it should be the guy and not your car.
But have you had any burning car
stories? I've had some. I haven't had, like, nightmare dates. And the reason is because I have gotten so good at betting. But I would say one of my funnier, worst dates is a guy. And I joke about height. I don't joke about it. Like, everyone's like, oh.
I don't joke about it. I like tall guys.
Well, we all have our preferences and that's fine. But I've absolutely dated men under 6 feet, obviously. And there was one guy that had full body pictures. But the one full body picture he was doing a headstand. So he looked like 8 feet tall. And the rest of them were kind of curious, but I was like, I don't care. He's cute and he seems great. So I'll meet up with him. And on the way to the date, he texted me, he goes, by the way, I'm short. Like, just texted me, by the way, I'm short. And I was like, okay, like how short? And he's like 5'3", see you soon or something. Or he's, I don't know if he told me the exact number.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm in the Uber on the way to the date. And I'm like, oh, okay. It was just a weird timing.
Yeah. Scenario.
So I'm like, all right, fine. Like, interesting time to tell me, but I get there. I look around, he like hops off the stool and I'm like,
hops off.
He's so cute and he's so sweet. We're having a great conversation. I'm really enjoying my time with him. And then he tells me he makes short films. And my biggest dating, like, achievement ever is not asking if they were about him. And I bit
you, myself. Hey, you write what you know, you know, like,
but I was, I didn't say it. And
That's called growth.
It was like holding in like a fart. It was, I wanted to so badly and I didn't. I was like, and then that's not, when we're leaving, he like cornered me and he's like, have you ever, he said something like, short men just kiss better. Trust me.
He
and
kisses, like, a lot of short dudes.
And I was like, guy, you're like, I get it. I think he was just being aggressive because he was trying to be like assertive.
Yeah.
It just didn't.
But I bet that text thing at the last minute, I bet that's his move too, because he know, like, I bet he slides it in there at that. I mean, no offense to, I mean,
no,
anybody, you know,
he was so cute and we had a great time, but he kind of ruined it there at the end by cornering me and being like, let's make out. I'm like the best short kisser you've ever kissed.
And I mean, that's like, a good line too, though. You like, I bet he gets a lot of like, okay, yeah, why not? Let's see.
And I said, I'm going to cut this date short. And
finally, this week, are we on any second dates, third dates? Where are we in the progression?
Yeah,
we got any dark horses?
Yeah, I think I'm going on one after this.
Okay. Yeah, let's get you out of here. But
On a second date, yes. And he's great. We'll see. I think, you know, the time between a first date and a second date and then a third date, the gray area is just really, I think that's why I like first dates so much. They're so black and white. It's like, do we like each other or do we not? And when you do kind of like each other, then it just gets really, should I text him? Should I not text him? Am I thinking about him? Do I like, you know, so it's still exciting, but unfortunately first dates still excite me.
Wow. Now I'm fully invested. Maybe hit him with an I love you tonight, just to see where it takes to see where it takes, like, just throw in these little things to see where it, I mean, that's like how good you are now, is you could throw in really big moves and see how they respond to it and yeah, course correct.
I don't ghost men. I just tell them I love them and they never talk to me again.
Okay. Sarah K. Reynolds, you guys go follow her on Instagram. I'm going to put all her information. Her link tree is there. Go read. I got to tell, I really love that Medium story you wrote. I thought that was so beautiful. I keep thinking about that, but also just hysterically funny. Her Twitter, her Instagram, all of that stuff, her New Yorker articles, go read all of that stuff and go support. But hopefully you'll come back sometime, because this, I have so many, this was great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay. 5, 4.
Betches.